ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्धस्य धनञ्जनाशवाकय चक्षुर्मुलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंभूपकृदामायं ददाति सपदन्तिकम् पञ्चकौपातृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुमयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Greetings from New York City. Pretty busy, and I've yet to get around to picking the book for this section. I think I'm right now I may be inclined to just start the Bhagavatam over, which may be nice. So I'll just share with you the different talks that I've given during the week. This week was particularly interesting. I was invited, and I went with Reti Krishna. We were invited to the parents' farm of one very nice lady who we met in India, who became a devotee there in her visit to Vrindavan. And it's outside of Harrisburg, and it's a 150-acre farm. And the parents are Christian, devoted Christian, and I would say conservatives. Conservatives in the sense of, radically or substantially less government. And that probably goes from everything to the to gun control, to welfare, and these types of things. But they have their Christians, but they embrace Christianity in their views, because even though perhaps, I don't know exactly their views, all I know they are conservative, that they're compassionate, because they're friends and people open up. They make initiatives to take care of poor people and help uneducated people. They just feel that that's more the job of the community than the government, or something like that, I stayed there for two nights. It was very wonderful. We were welcomed, felt at home. And, I gave a lecture, and they invited their friends. And it wasn't the group of people who normally we would speak to. I mean, generally, what our audience is, alternative people, liberal people, generally, of sorts. Otherwise, why would they even consider a religion? I just read something that, 35% of America think that Christianity should be the state religion, even though they agree that it's not constitutional. So, obviously, we gear to that, or Indians who have a commonality of our culture. So this was a very, very different group. And I wasn't sure what their frame of reference would be. I just finished I'm halfway through. I have a 12-hour seminar in the Yoga Sutras. Wonderful people. So I had a 12-hour seminar in the Yoga Sutras, and I gave 6 hours, I still had to check out the people's frame of reference, how much they knew. If they said yama and niyama, they know the words. But it wasn't, basically I had a pretty good idea of their frame of reference. That they're very open to kind of new ideas and new conceptions of spirituality and we can talk about reincarnation and talk about Krishna as God. Basically I had an idea of their frame of reference, as I do in most groups. So I was upstairs, the very nice room they gave me, in a beautiful, beautiful farmhouse. And I was thinking, and I couldn't think of what I would speak because I just didn't know the audience. So generally when I prepare my lectures, I go over them in my mind. I just go over them in my mind. What am I going to, And every time I went, I couldn't go anyplace because I didn't know what I could say. So I couldn't really go for more than a few words. So I was really forced to depend on Krishna. Really forced to depend on Krishna. Where I generally have a sense of a lecture before I come to it, I try to be dependent on Krishna and pray that I may serve the people that I'm speaking to some degree. But I basically know that, I got this lecture down. I know where I'm starting. I know where I'm going. I'm confident. My humility may be God's given me the abilities to do it. He's given me the intelligence to do it. So, basically I generally 90% of the time I'm confident. I didn't know what I was going to say. So I actually had no recourse but just to deeply pray to Krishna. I don't know what I'm going to say. Just let me serve these people. Let me serve these people. And then when I did that, a thought came in my mind. A thought came in my mind, and it kind of gave me confidence. I kind of felt it was from Krishna of what I would say, and I'll tell you what I said. But then the people came, and in kind of honor of me, there was vegetarian food. And when I was there, they served me fruit and different things that are vegetarians, bread and whatever it is. But they, this is really, really middle America. These are not the people that go to a Hare Krishna temple. So it's kind of like, they came down and it was kind of like, the person in charge of the house, he's kind of educated, Graham. He's the chief coroner, forensic scientist for Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And his wife, I guess, just to give the image, former Miss Texas. Of course, she's older now. They're well-dressed people. I guess it's not, he's not just a farmer. He works, and therefore the coroner, the deputy coroner was there. And, you know, his son, who's an investment advisor. And I don't know, this other couple, I think they were French. But, you know, well-dressed people, and obviously they served wine, and I guess that's it. You got your little wine glasses, and people are kind of walking around and socializing, and they, right outside their house, they built a big fire. People, some people were sitting, like, right on their porch around the fire, and it was, you know, kind of like a party. But, you know, but moderate. You know, it, you know, these. So then I sat down. It was very nice. I mean, the culture, somehow or other, they have another room, and they had like this family kind of two-seater thing, and they had reserved it for the week that that would be my seat. And then they had little chairs around there. And I thought, am I going to begin with kirtan or not? I decided, no, I won't begin with kirtan. If it goes well, I'll end with kirtan. And I want to share the realizations. I mean, I'll tell you when I spoke, but it worked out really well. And, you know, it kind of gave me a very nice realization about Krishna Conscious Prabhupada, about the universal applicability of our teaching. You know, it's really for everyone. Truth is truth. And if you're connected to a substantial line, parampara, of experienced teachers connected with the Vedas, what we have to say is extremely, and if said in the proper way, it is extremely relevant to a cross-section of people. Even God is not a conservative or liberal concept. And God is certainly a conservative concept. People who mold their life by something higher than themselves. So there's a link right there. And their values. Because this is not, you know, these are real Christians. They study Christ. They take seminars. They really don't try to understand it deeply. And those teachings are bhakti. And it is a life of, besides the political views, which someone may agree with or not, but all their views, whether you agree with them or not, are based on what they feel is the most compassionate way to deal with people and others. So there is a tremendous link. It's just a cultural thing. You know. And, you know, real Christianity, real Christians, you know, they have to touch a certain universality of God, really. You know. And these people are fairly well read. So, you know, I sat down and I this is what Prabhupada inspired me to say, and I'll try to repeat some of the lecture. I don't think it was recorded, unfortunately. But, you know, what I said to them is that, you know, I looked at them and I said, you know, first of all, I was introduced by Monica Moore very nicely. She expressed her appreciation for me as her teacher and what she learned from me in India, which was a great link and introduction to the people here. And even Monica Moore wasn't really a yoga person, just somehow or other in transition from her job, I guess, at the, you know, that she was doing, working for a hedge fund in communications, not really seeing that to suit her ideals of spirituality too well. And she has that deep deep sense of connection with God. Somehow or other got an inspiration to go to India, and some friend told her about Raghunath's tour. So she wasn't necessarily even person for yoga, necessarily. So so this is what I said, and it really felt inspired. Because Graham took me on a walk of his property. I'm going to post the picture. I'll just make, before I get into the thing, here's another side kind of view of the scene there also. They're very interesting people. You know, this is a very high integrity people. They have values, and they try as much as possible to live by those values. So Graham is a very interesting person, the chief coroner. So there's a lot of his stories are fascinating about how you solve crime and the stuff. Is this, so somehow people saw him on the History Channel or something. I don't know the story. And AEN, the day I was there, signed him and his wife for a reality television show. And his idea is this is God's opportunity to speak of values. And he fought, the lawyers fought for 3 months because he wanted some control over the show so that he could, you know, that he'd be free to express in his work as a forensic scientist or a coroner, chief coroner, his work and realizations of morality and values and what it does to society and life and death and all these things. But, you know, when he first came in, I came to his house first. He's at work, and he came in. It was, I don't know if you caught what it looked, but it, I said, yeah, this guy is reality TV, you know, really big, well-built person, gray hair parted in the middle, kind of these round, round-rimmed glasses. And he was wearing kind of like an off-white suit and a red bow tie. I said, yeah, and so, you know, I stayed the second day. He really wanted, he took me on a walk on the farm, you know, through his woods, 150 acres and things like that. So this was my realization. I began my lecture by saying, you know, that I was, you know, walking with Graham on his farm, and I was realizing when I was walking, you know, the beauty of this country, and then had a startling realization, and this was actually a fact, because this is 50 minutes from Gitanagari, and the startling fact was, you know, I've had some of my deepest some of my deepest spiritual realizations in Juniata County, Pennsylvania. And it's a fact, because right in that same forest area, you know, maybe the next county or whatever it is, some of my deepest experiences were in Gitanagari. And I said that I used to go to visit there. And, you know, one thing I learned about lecturing, and this is the most important thing, really, to begin with, you have to introduce yourself to the audience, not in a direct way. So you have to talk about yourself in relationship to the things you're going to talk about. So what I said is you know, that I had a friend, a great saint, unfortunately passed away, that I used to visit at his spiritual community. And I said he was, you know, a black American born in the ghettos of Cleveland. Worked his way up to graduate from Princeton. Was the first African American Swami. And he was a tribal chief in Africa. And then, like, you know, it was like the people there were on the edge of their seats. So I developed rapport, which was nice. And it was also nice that one of the Sangha members, Chris Daly, who's been a Sangha member from the very beginning, I called him up and invited him. I didn't realize that, you know, I was that this farm was where it even was, but he lived less than 10 minutes away. So Chris Daly got to come too. That was great. And, the rapport was there. They were listening. I could see. So that kind of gave me, you need confidence. That gave me confidence. And then I said, and in fact, my teacher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, was headed to this part of the country, was headed here. At the end of his life, because although he taught spirituality, he felt his mission wasn't complete unless he taught people how to live a life to support spirituality. And therefore, he was coming here to teach people how to live off the land. And at that point, there was a guy, a very heavy-set guy, and I met him later. I talked to him with a beard, really deep, pious, Christian, you know. And I heard, you know, he put his fist in there. He said, "Amen, brother. Amen, brother." And you know, it was great, you know, because this guy has a self-sustainable farm of 60 acres based on his Christian beliefs. And people come from around the world to learn sustainable farming there. He was very successful in software or some engineering thing at the RPI, a very prestigious school. And, you know, so he had these values, these same kind of values and understand that Prabhupada did. That he really wanted to be a Christian, you really want to be a devotee, you know. You can't avoid economics. Gauri Jumper Wolfen says, you know, Grihastha, before they think of spirituality, they think of social life and economics. They think of social life and economics. And Prabhupada thought about economics. You know, and it was one of his concerns. And so a Christian with the same values. And his value is God, but what about a life of integrity that supports God, supports protection of the environment, that supports healthy living? Of course, you know, some of their values are vegetarian, things like this, but of course that's important, but the point is there. Amen, brother. Amen. He even later apologized to me. He said, you know, excuse me if I had to get up. Very polite, he said, but I've been working on the farm since 4:30 in the morning, you know, and I'm overweight and, you know, arthritis there. Like, I just couldn't sit that long. You know, such nice people, really. So then what I did is I began to explain Prabhupada's journey to Gita Nakshi. And I began to speak when I was in Vrindavan, how Prabhupada came there to leave his body for the last time. He was someplace else. I said in the holy place by the Ganga, and his legs swelled up. The storm, the shutters. It was just inauspicious. He came. I was there in Vrindavan, and I told him how he came to leave the world. We came to leave the world. And how he said, what is death but a change of body? And then I began to explain. 1 second, I got to take some water here. Thank you. I began to explain, Henos vin yatade he komaran yovanam jara tade hantara prapir diras tatanamuyate. As the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth, similarly at the time of death, and I explain in a little more detail than I explained today how a saintly person, I explain the difference between suffering and pain. And again, I think what they appreciated it is how, from my tradition, I can articulate the very principles they hold, sometimes even in a more profound way or as profound or whatever, I don't know, but they really appreciate it. In fact, that guy Marty asked me, what's my schedule for speaking in New York? You know, I'm like, wow, he wants to hear the lectures. So I explained, you know, one of the things, I'm not going to remember everything I explained, but the difference between pain and suffering, and I explained that, you know, really suffering really refers to more of a mental state. The physical pain may be the same at the time of death, but a spiritual person, you know, his consciousness is not fearful. And then I said, just like I was speaking to Grant, and he had a lot of respect for his father who had purchased that land, 1959, with, you know, houses and everything like that for $9,000, $10,000 or something like that. How his father's in the hospital dying and asked his sons, could he die at home? You know, and you know how he looked at him. He said, look, son, I know where I'm going. You know, I'm not afraid. You know, that kind of. So, you know, I explained how a spiritual person who, you know, understand, and how I experienced that so many times in Vrindavan. And that is a phrase I like to use very often, how death is the illusion of non-existence. And explain that. And, you know, wow, there was such a deep bond with them. And in that type of spontaneity, so many other points began. I began to explain the universality of that, you know, the concept of religion, of Dharma, is not a particular faith, but it's the very nature of the soul to serve God. And I wound up also reading from the Yoga Sutras from the section on the section of the Yoga Sutras on, I'll find that one second, on Ishvara Pranidhan, about worshiping God. And I read them the commentary. And take me a second. Oh, here I go. I'll find it. Well, the previously mentioned state is attainable by devotion to the Lord. What does it say in the commentary? Etymologically, pranidhan means to place oneself prostrate, submit. And while not a common term, means devotional submission. Devotion to God, according to Vyas, invokes a particular type of devotion, bhakti vaishesh. And that is simply by the yogi's longing, God bestows his grace upon the yogi. When this happens, the fruit of samadhi becomes quickly available. As Ramananda Saraswati put it, God turns towards the yogi as a result of such devotion and says, let this that he desires be his. Shankara states that this sutra describes bhakti, the yoga devotion, where the Lord reaches out to the yogi who is fully devoted to him. He comes face to face with him, bestows his grace upon him in accordance with how the yogi has meditated upon it. And I explain, you know, the concept of mercy. That in our endeavors, we can't earn God. And if we think we can earn God, it's too cheap to be God. It's too cheap to be God. And I describe mercy as undeserved kindness. And anyway, there were so many points of relevance. I asked for questions. There was one person there from Cameroon in Africa. This Graham is also a professor of forensic science. And I'll post a picture of me and Graham. I think everybody will get a kick out of it. It's like, you'll see. I post a picture of, I'll post a picture, but one of his students, he asked a question, and then there was one Indian there. And I loved his name, too. He was named after an Indian spice called fennel. His name, Fennel Patel. And he asked at the end about karma, reincarnation. I joked. I said, look, I've been explaining the whole lecture about, you know, the commonalities. Now you bring out the points that are the difference. But anyway, I explained reincarnation in terms of that verse, Deheno Spinyadahe, Komaran Yovanam Jura, Tade Hantarapap, Gir Diras Tatanamuyate, as the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, and how we're reincarnating. And I said, look, everyone, I said, Graham's a coroner. The person dies, right? The body's there. So the soul is different than the body. It goes someplace else. That's reincarnation. So we may say it takes four or five times. They may say once, but there's little difference there. And then, anyway, after the lecture, people came very politely to shake my hand. Some people, one Christian lady told me she was practicing meditation and she got stuck, you know, some kind of, you know, Kundalini, I forgot. And so she wanted to go something higher. And I asked Miss Monica Moore to teach her the Maha Mantra. Another family came and asked me that. And, you know, one nice thing is there was a young boy, I guess the grandson of Graham, son of his own son. And he was sitting there with his parents. And he had beautiful, long, blonde hair, about 12 years old. And he sat for the whole lecture with rapt attention. With rapt attention. And, you know, afterwards, he came and he shook my hand. He said, sir, that was a very wonderful talk. I gave him a big hug. That was also kind of revelatory, you know, because his parents, you know, it's just like their ideal parents. They're just dedicated to the kid. The mother stays at home and really, that's her life. I'm not against working women, but this is a nice model too. The father's an investment advisor, and though with integrity, his father said he can make a lot much more money, but he really spends time with people and tries to help them. And I just saw there it was, you know, the father, they're very open with their kid. They discuss everything, and they really love that child, and they give him proper moral values. And I said, so the result was, is here was a child that was very peaceful, And in speaking to him, you could understand that he was very satisfied and confident in who he was. But that's not an egotistical position. It's just a secure position. And it was very impressive. I mean, who this kid will grow up to, who could, you know, say, probably wonderful. Very impressive. And then afterwards was the dinner, in a smorgasbord of vegetarian stuff. So I walked around. He came up to me several times, wanted to take his picture with me. But it was impressive. You know, how many children, even the Rodi kids, can actually, at the age of 12, sit and listen to, you know, and he's kind of serious in life. And the parents, you know, they told me, we talked a lot about child rearing. And, you know, they told me, you know, how they discuss openly with him. And it's an interesting thing. You'll never figure out unless I tell you. The boy's passion is surfing. And in his age group, he's one of the top surfers in America. Top five, at least. And I just said, how is that possible? They said, well, the family had like a little summer cottage at Ocean City in Maryland. They took the boy when he was really young, and he took to the water like a fish, and all of a sudden saw a surf and said, I can do that. And it became his passion, and the parents thought, well, this is healthy, let us support it. So because they homeschool their kid, the mother is able to spend a lot of time by the shore with the kid. They said at least half of the year to buy the water. They just came back from Puerto Rico for 6 weeks for the fall, you know. And it was also nice. They told me how they talked to him because he's so different from others in one sense. And, you know, they said when he won the award, he was just talking in gratitude to his parents and teachers. And that's really spiritual. Other kids don't do that. And they talked to him openly about sex life and that, you know, what are you going to do? You're a handsome guy and there's so many beautiful women here in bikinis and, like, you know, like this and that. But it was impressive. You know, impressive. You know, what good, solid, dedicated, you know, together, wife and husband relationship dedicated on the children. You know, It has the power, and it's so rare today, actually, to even find that, too. Anyway, you know, just basically, it was just a very revelatory experience that... there's a prejudice where you could, like, hate people, and there's a prejudice where you just impose the wrong conceptions on people. You know, but maybe, you know, I had a prejudice. I'd never think that these are the people that I would, that actually could be, appreciate what we have. You know, you're really not kind of super, like, concerned, like, I got to convert these people, but, you know, because they're already devotional, maybe vegetarianism, a few things, if that can be communicated, that would really, boy, bring them to another level. But at the same sense, you know, they liked the lecture so much. And they said, networking, we have to invite our friends. The guy in the sustainable farm wants me to visit his farm. So I just thought, like, you know, I'm in the yoga world. What Prabhupada gives is so relevant. And then the next day, you know, I'm in... You know, the definition of Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in between. And then the next time I'm there. And when you get connected to a line of experience truth, you know, it's so relevant. I mean, I couldn't imagine an Advaita Vedantist touching their hearts, very frankly. Or, you know. But I really saw, wow. It was kind of like, wow, Prabhupada. Wow, Prabhupada. And the person was reading. Her daughter thought of a book, gave him Prabhupada's Beyond Reason and Doubt, which, of course, the philosophers are not accurately presented to Prabhupada, but whatever is presented, at least Prabhupada's response is according to our tradition. And that guy Graham was talking to me how much he liked your Swami, Prabhupada, you know, hearing Prabhupada talk about Karl Marx, and, you know, making a perfect society, something sort of that. I don't know exactly remember the thing, but he was just quoting Prabhupada. You'll never make man perfect. But the best you, but if you put God in the center, you can have a perfect society. So, you know, he was really appreciating that. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu sometimes tells me, you know, your faith is strongest and renewed when you see your teachings through the eyes of others. You know, when you see your teachings through the eyes of others. So that was also revelatory. And remember when I left, you know, Graham gave me some, you know, anyway, he gave me some, you know, books, not to convert me, but he thought I would appreciate them. The Spiritual Brain, A Neuroscience Case for the Existence of the Soul by Mario Odegaard, PhD. And then he gave me a book by the Complete Works of Francis Schaeffer, A Christian Worldview, A Christian View of Philosophy and Culture, Volume 1. I'll look at them. And so before I left, you know, Graham, you know, he hugged me, he said, love you, brother. Love you, brother. I said, love you, brother. So interesting. Prabhupada, really what he gave is he gave the truth. People who are after the truth will appreciate it, whether they're conservatives, liberals. And if people are not after the truth, then whether they're liberals or conservatives, they won't appreciate it. You know, you never know who your allies are. And you can't just designate it. And in one sense, I was thinking, you know, sometimes there's a lot more common with them than a liberal world, because the commonality is kind of an openness, which is wonderful, to alternative culture, but really don't have the social and moral values that some of these people have in commonality with us. So in one sense, there was one frame of reference that was easier to speak to, and another frame of reference is a little difficult. That means, you know, maybe their conception of Krishna's God or something like that. Okay. Are there any questions? Are Hare people Krishna there?
Maharaj. Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maharaj.
Yeah.
you know, in the beginning, you were saying that, you know, you were priming us or building us up to hear, like, I thought it was maybe one realization, but maybe it was actually several. Not realization,
yeah.
I don't know, but that thought that Krishna put into your mind to share with them when you didn't know what you were going to speak about. So I wasn't sure if it was just one thought or the variety of thoughts that you shared with us today?
No, it was the one thought about the relationship between Juniata County and Pennsylvania, the very woods I was appreciating with Graham, and how profoundly it was connected to the Krishna consciousness movement, and how that would be such a wonderful link communicate to them. And I was kind of confident once I got that link and then that idea of explaining how Prabhupada was headed there, there were so many points about Prabhupada's life that I could explain that they'd appreciate. So that was my realization. That was the realization of what I presented, and the realization of the kind of personal philosophical realization I got that was is that, who is the market for Krishna consciousness? We shouldn't have a narrow view of that. That was the other view.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Hare Vo, who said that?
Oh, this is Nandalila Maharaj.
Oh, Nandalila, Hare Krishna. Hare Vo.
Maharaj, I have little
Thank
bit,
you.
About the bar that you discussed, It reminded me of the Bhagavad Gita verse. Prapapunna kitam lokan vishitta shashruti shama. Suchinam simatam gehe yugabhastra vijayate.
That refers to, I know what the verse means. I hear you, but what does it refer to?
Yeah, this is referred to the boy that you mentioned, that he's sober, he listened to the whole lecture, and I was thinking that, because...
It definitely was, sure, he was involved in certain ways. Thank you. Okay, who else would like to say hello? I heard another voice there. Yes. I will. Okay. Who else would like to say hello?
Maharaj, please let me know when you're coming this side.
Okay. I will. That's Amia?
Yes, the lady's on their way to you.
Okay. Thank you, Amia, for taking care of them,
Not at all. My pleasure.
Okay, it was really wonderful to see them. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj.
Okay, the lady. Who was that?
Monica. It's Monica.
Monica. Great.
Monica Moore. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, Monica Moore, by the way, is the lady's house who I went to. Monica brought up fond memories?
Yes. I'll forward you an email Graham sent to his family just expressing his gratitude and his realizations that he had during your time here, because he really was impacted. And I got lots of emails from people. So, I think that everyone really benefited from your presence and your talk. So...
It confirms what I was telling the people on my sangha too.
Mhm.
Yeah.
It was definitely reciprocal. The realizations were reciprocal. So.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay. I really would like those. And.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm giving us this 12-hour talk on the Yoga Sutras. We're going to put it online if you like to listen to it. I think you'll really appreciate it, too.
Great. On your website.
Well, thank you. It will be soon. We have to give 6 hours today. Okay, thank you so much. Wonderful to hear from you. We'll keep in touch. Hare Krishna. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Carl and Stella, wonderful, huh? That's interesting, right?
In fact, we're giving a talk tomorrow night in a little tiny town in Iowa for a Theology on Tap group.
Theology on what?
On Tap. It's like they have a beer and talk about religion.
Hey, look, these people had their thing. But look, you wrote too, the reciprocation,
Yeah.
It's just like, I always remember too. You know, I want to tell you know when your youngest daughter, when you were there for 6 months, and they took me, you took me to the MBT to have dinner, and then I always remember this at the end. Your youngest daughter, you know, she said, "Marge, would you like some ice cream?" She was only six or something, and then the family started to laugh. I said, "Why are you laughing?" She said, "Because we know that we only allow ice cream on Sundays," you know. And she kind of was, you know, somehow. And then I always thought about that, as, you know, I always remember that. And I remember it about parenting, you know, that your family is so affectionate to your children and you are liberal, you know, views in some ways. But the other hand, you set boundaries, you know.
Yes.
And it just really made me understand something, too. And I saw that with these parents, you know. The same thing. You used to take your children all over America on your sabbatical together as a family, you know.
Yes.
And just the same thing. They, you know, the kid's surfing and they take him and, you know. And so it's really, I kind of thought of you too.
Oh, thanks, Mara.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful.
Much love.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Mara.
Mother Indrani, you must be in separation, me talking about Juniata County, Pennsylvania, huh?
And Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gauran Bhattadas.
Govardhan. Hi, Bo. I'm still working on that program. It's almost finalized. I'll give you a date for that. For that Saturday, and hopefully we can do that. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, this is Sureet.
This is who?
Sureet and Hanan. He was here earlier but had to leave.
So nice to hear from you again. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's nice to come again. It was very touching to hear your story there. Thank you.
It was wonderful. And then the lady came on, too, to explain the effect of the family, and that's wonderful. Great, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I better get on now, too, because I got so much things to do today. Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Manchukopa, Trivya, Shaka, Pasindu, Devi, Chopra, no problem.